We are on up to the Mishnah Chaf Aleph and Beis. Here we go. Mark and set. Go. Make sure I don't see your phones. Right? Make sure I don't see your phones. Here we go. So if a person is making his sukkah between the trees, so what? And the trees are walls for the sukkah. It is kosher. So if you remember, we last left our shiros. Last time we were discussing inflatable sukkahs, where the sukkah is made out of the wind, and someone had raised the issue about what about walls that only stay up with a slight wind, you know, a zephyr, but if it's too much of a wind, they'll blow down. So that's what this Mishnah seemingly is dealing with. We'll see if that's true in a moment. So Rashi says, person makes a sukkah between the trees, Zok Rashi Bo'aret, it's not in the tree. That's a separate issue we dealt with. We're not talking about in the tree, we're talking about on the ground. They're not even leaning on the trees, but it is the walls of the sukkah. Okay, so it is kosher. Anyone want to take a guess? Like, why wouldn't it be kosher? Like, what's the problem? Deraisa, derabanan. Like, what would you think the problem is?
The tree could be over the schach.
Maybe the leaves on top. Okay.
It's
alive. And there wasn't an opinion before that sitting out of a living sukkah, then be machlokas or be Mary Yehuda. So how come this nature reflects everybody says it's okay? So that can't be the issue. What else? It sways. You already saw the Gemara. Yeah?
Yeah.
So what if it sways? Maybe there's an issue with swaying. Why should swaying be an issue?
Because it's not always that. Because it means that the walls are not strong enough to stand up alone. So the
thing to blow down. Maybe it'll fall down.
At a certain point, it's not even a sukkah anymore. It's just like, you know, like.
Like what?
It's not covered.
Like the schach isn't being covered. Like, yeah, it's not like the leaves like get separated because like the
tree. Leaves on top? The schach is moving?
No, it's a wall. Yes. The tree is a wall, not the schach.
Right, it has to be detached from the ground. Your schach has to be detached from the ground and resting on the top of your sukkah. But what about the walls? If you're making walls, you never been to one of these weddings, you know, they want you to be able to look at the girls a little bit, so they just put trees. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right.
Not really in the pizza.
Yeah.
Not really,
so it's like, you know, it's not, is that a wall?
Nope.
So you'll tell me, but in sukkah in general, we need like virtual walls. We're not so makbid on such physical strong structures. You could have love wood to each other, you know? So that's a fascinating question. We're talking about the trees, like, it's a love wood issue? Or it's a moving issue? It's not strong enough to be a wall? What exactly are we talking about? So that's what we have to ask ourselves. Is this an issue of deraisa, derabanan? If you're going to suggest that the Mishnah is dealing with a deraisa issue, you're going to have to say there's something wrong with the walls made out of trees that is not good enough to be a sukkah wall. That's what you'll have to say. Kamash Mullah, in the Mishnah, it is good enough. So there's something wrong with trees. Okay, the other way to look at it is that, well, there was an issue with trees in general. Are you allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov? No, you're not allowed to use a tree. Well, is there a Hava Amina that using it for a wall is considered a use? Is that what there are banan? Or maybe we're worried about you putting something on the tree, and that would be a use of the tree on Yom Tov? Maybe that's the issue. Maybe it's also a gzera. So that's also a thought process if you're going to argue the issue is there are banan. So far, we don't know. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov said, "Kol mechitza she'eni yachol lamay v'ruach metzuya eina mechitza." Any mechitza, meaning any wall that's not able la'amay to stand, v'ruach metzuya. What's a ruach metzuya? What's metzuya?
Good.
What's matsui?
Excellent.
That's metzuyan. Found. Right? Matsuya. Metzia. Found. Metzuyan. A different word. But a matsui means it's found. So ruach metzuya means a wind that is found. Normal English?
Wind that is
a typical, common wind. Right? Found. Meaning a normal wind. It's matsui. Ruach metzuya means it's a normal found wind. It's a normal wind. So if you have a mechitza that is not able to stand up to a ruach metzuya, to a normal wind, ain't a mechitza is not a wall. Yeah, so? The tree's going to blow over? What?
The tree could withstand normal wind.
Do we have any idea what he wants? So far, we have a statement. Rav Yaakov says, any mechitza that can't stand up to a normal wind is not a mechitza. Okay, agreed. If you take a piece of paper and you want to make your sukkah wall, it's going to blow away. That's not considered a wall. Okay, fine. What's it do with us? Okay, well, go on. Tanan. If a person makes his sukkah between the trees, oh, this is our Mishnah. If a person makes his sukkah between the trees, and the trees are walls for it, kshera. The sukkah is kasher. I am so lost so far in this Gemara because you told me if it blows down, are we suspecting the trees are going to blow down? Doesn't seem very likely. So then the Gemara has the line that makes all the difference. V'ha ka'azil v'asi. Exclamation point! But behold, it is going and it is coming. What? It's swaying. It is going and it is coming. It is swaying. So what?
So what?
So
because the tree is swaying,
it's kin. That's what it meant, Ruach Mitsuya? Wait. I thought when we said that a mechitza that can't stand in a typical wind is not a mechitza because it's going to blow over. You mean it just blows? It sways? Is also called not standing in a Ruach Mitsuya? That's what the Gemara meant?
Could be a very old tree that might fall.
So that's which one is it? What does Rashi say? Zok the Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, Shein Yichol La'amid B'Ruach Mitzuya, Sha'Ruach Moelicha U'Mevi'a. The Ruach makes it go and makes it come. It makes it sway. So Rashi right away said, you misunderstood the introduction to the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mean that it's going to blow down. When we talk about a wall standing up to Ruach Mitzuya, it means it's a wall that stands straight. It doesn't sway. Wow, I didn't know that. Canvas sukkahs. So wow, now we understand where the issue may be when it comes to cannabis sukkah. So we'll have to work this out. But let's go through the Gemara first. So the Gemara says, but the trees are swaying. So apparently, if the trees are swaying, that's no good. So what's the kasha? Problem is, Rabbi Achav Yaakov said, and we trust him, any wall that sways in a normal wind, that's not a wall. But our Mishnah says, you can make your sukkah in the trees, and trees sway. Kasha. How can the Mishnah say it's good? Rabbi Achav Yaakov said, such a mechitza is no good. Can't use trees, they sway. So what's the answer? Answer, the Gemara Hacha B'maya Eskinan, here what are we dealing with? B'kushin. What's kushin? What? Kushe.
Oh.
Right. What does that mean?
What is it?
Hard. So, Zok Rashi, B'kushin, Ilanois, Zakenim, Ve'avim. Trees that are Zakenim, and what's the next word? Avim. What's ayin base? Avim? Thick. Zakenim, Avim. Old and thick. Because the older it is, thicker it is. Trees. Okay, so that's the answer to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, when it said you're allowed to make your sukkah between the trees, slow down, hold your horses. Not any trees. It means only trees that are very old, meaning they are very thick, and therefore they're not going to be swaying, at least not the lower parts of that, which are the walls of the sukkah. Va'ika noifai. But what do you mean? But it has leaves and branches that are swaying. So, in other words, the very, very bottom of the tree that doesn't sway, okay. But as you get higher, it could be that your sukkah is relying on various branches and thinner parts of the tree, which are swaying in the wind, so that doesn't help you. So the Gemara answers, you're right, that's a problem. The avid lay that you made for it, behutza vidafna. What are hutza vidafna? Rashi says, the avid lay oireg hanoif. You weave the various branches and leaves, kimin mechitza, like a wall, shlo ni enu haruach, so that the wind doesn't blow it. So you weave it up. Hutza bedafna, you weave it up. So you tie it up in such a way that it's apparently not blowing. Is that what it means? It doesn't blow, yeah? The sukkah is up against, I don't know exactly what the schach is resting on. That's not clear. So we'll have to deal with that, you know, separately. But the trees are the walls of the sukkah.
Okay. Also, and we're treating the branches as if they are the trees.
They're attached to the trees. What do you mean? Yeah.
Meaning, like, if the sukkah was attached, the schach was only attached to the lower part of the tree, then we wouldn't have a problem.
If the wall that we need is only the lower part of the tree, sounds like that would be enough. Like, theoretically, if you have 10 tefachim of trunk, you know, a very thick part of the tree, sounds like, who cares if there's the top of it? That's what it sounds like.
Right.
But if you don't have enough, so then, yeah, you're going to have to do something about the branches. Now, here's what I want to know. I think it's important, halacha l'maaseh, for something like a canvas sukkah. When we weave it, is weaving enough that now it's okay because it's not it's woven together? Or weaving it means you weave it in a way where it doesn't move anymore? So what did Rashi say? The Avid Lei, you see this Rashi? The Avid Lei, Oirega Noiv Kimin Mechitza Shelo Yeni Enu Aruach. So the wind doesn't blow it. Wow, so that's interesting. So Rashi is saying you can't have a wall that blows in the wind. And we'll have to discuss, well, what is blowing exactly? So I'll let you in on this one. There seems to be a significant machlokus here and what it means blowing. The Chazon Ish makes a lot of sense, but it seems like not everyone agrees with him. The Chazon Ish was of the opinion that if the tree blows enough that they separate three tefachim, they're no longer in love with each other. That's really the problem. That if there's wind blowing and the trees now sway in a way where now they're separated from each other, there's no more wall. And then they blow back together and now there's a wall again. And then they blow and there's another new wall. That's not called a mechitza. But the fact that it just blows a little bit, but you always maintain your three tefachim, less than three tefachim between them, so they're always loving. So who cares that it's swaying? So that makes a lot of sense. That's the opinion of the Chazon Ish. You hear? Because we don't always need a hard and fast wall that you can't get through. I mean, love wood is good enough. You know, we've seen that before. You can have a bunch of pieces of dental floss, love with each other. It sounds like that's fine. So what do you mean? That's such a great wall? So it sounds like that he's going to make the same argument here, that as long as they're loving each other, so that's really fine. So we can work with that as a working argument. So if you have the branches that are moving away from each other, that they're no longer in love with, that's a problem. So you got to tie them together. What does it mean, tie them together? Rashi makes it sound like they're not moving. I mean, that would be a huge chumrah, that the thing doesn't move at all. So it sounds like from the Chazon Ish, like probably he would say, no. Lo yinu aruch means it doesn't blow it so that it separates and it's no longer love. But others may argue with that and say maybe it really does have to be more of a solid wall. So even if you're going to make it love wood and you have a bunch of pieces of dental floss, but they are loving to one another, but they're stationary. They're not moving. Maybe the movement itself is a problem. That's what we'd have to figure out. Obviously, there's tremendous nafkaminas for something like a canvas sukkah. Because the canvas sukkah certainly is moving. But it doesn't separate and not become lovely. So how are we going to learn this Gemara? Okay, so let's see if we can pinpoint anything else here. Ihachi, if you are weaving together the branches, Maila Maimra, so then what's the chiddush? So of course it's not a problem. Mao to say, I might have thought, Nigzar Dilmasilishta Mushaba Elon, that maybe we won't let you use trees that sway for a mechitza, even if you tie them up, because we're afraid. Mao to say, I might have thought, Nigzar, we should make a gzera, Dilma perhaps, Asi, a person will come, Leishta Mushe, from Shimush, like Shamish, he will use the tree. Kamashvalan, that's really the chiddush. That we are not concerned for that.
That he would use the tree?
Yeah. It's usher on Shabbos and Yom Tov to use the tree. You want to hang things on the tree, you want to lean on the tree, you want to, I don't know, use the tree for one thing or another. So maybe we should be concerned that a person is going to end up, I mean, it's his wall of his sukkah, you know, it's not so far-fetched. And say the person may end up using the tree for one thing or something or another. Rashi writes, L'haniach alav kelav. You're going to hang something on it, you know. The branch sticking into your sukkah, what a great place to put your hat. Guys with hats are always looking for a place to put their hat. You know, it's tough. It's tough. You should feel for us. Anyway. Tashma! Any handle on a cabinet or like any handle that's high enough a kid won't knock it off, you know? That's where the hats go. Tashma! Hayasham Ilanai God there. There was a tree or there was a fence. Mechitzas hakanim, or a wall made out of reeds, nidoin mishum diyumad. It's treated, it's judged, it's fine, it's treated like a diyumad. Diyumad, if you remember back to this issue with the wells, And if a person is making aliyah l'regel, they want to be able to drink out of something. So how do you get the water out of the well when it's Yom Tov, when it's Shabbos? You can't tzotzo from a Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelist. So no problem. We make these posts around it. Remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah? So then you brought, you know, there's a circle well, so there's like these little right angled things. Diyum din.
What is
Nidon? Nidon is judged from the word din. Nidon, it is judged. It is considered. So what does that mean? That means that you can go ahead, and if you have a well, and surrounding it is a tree, or some stick sticking out of the ground, or some kind of fence, or whatever it is, those things are all legit to serve as one of these diyumdin, and you can remove things from the well on Yom Tov, Shabbos, whatever. What's the problem with that? Well, these reeds that you said you could use are going to blow in the wind. You know, separate from each other. I mean, they're not going to be that strong. We're talking about a tree trunk over here. We're talking about a bunch of reeds. And we're also talking about it, a tree, an elon. So how could those things be good? Hasam nami, there also. If it's reeds, if it's a tree, you weave it up in a way that it doesn't blow at all or significantly in the wind. No, not a kasha. Okay, next attempt. Tashma, come and hear the following attempt to blast it. Ilan amesech ala aretz. You have a tree, and it is making schach, so to speak. It is making a roof. It's covering over the ground. Im ein noifoy gavoya mina aretz shleisha tvachim. If its leaves and branches are not higher from the ground, 3 tvachim. In other words, if all the branches, it's like a weeping willow, or one of those cases where you have a tree, where there are a lot of branches that come down, and almost make it like if you're near the trunk of the tree, like you're in like a dome. So the branches are all coming down, and they're within 3 tvachim of the ground, so we'll call them lovewood to the ground. So if I remember when I was a kid, there were like evergreen trees like this. Whatever, you could go like inside the tree, and the branches went down in such a way, you were like in almost like a teepee. It was really cool. But you can imagine such a thing. On Shabbos, metaltelin tachtov. On Shabbos, you can carry underneath it.
How can you walk under 3
tvachim? Yeah, so you figured a way to get inside. Maybe there's like an entranceway, you roll under, you know.
It makes it sound like all the branches are 3 tvachim and like around the tree, like just.
Okay, so there's got to be a way to get in. You know, it's true. But basically, it's like a teepee almost all around the tree trunk. So you're allowed to carry underneath all of those branches. Oh my, what's the problem with that? How is that legit? Vaka azil va'asi. That can't be a mechitza. You can't tell me that's a wall around a tree. They're blowing around. Come on. Hasam nami, they're also double boots of a dafna. You're right. It's going to have to be made in a way where it doesn't blow around, at least not significantly. Ah, frustrating, right? Here you have all of these examples. We're talking about trees. And every time the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean stomach tree. It means you have to do something to weave it together. You have to do something to it. It's not what it sounds like when you first read it. So we're not happy saying that. But if that's what you got to say. If so, nitalte bekule. So you should be able to carry in all of it. Now what does that mean, bekule, bechule? What do you think that means? So help me out with this Rashi. See the bottom Rashi? Litaltel bakule. Kloima. Yitaltel by kol kama shehu gadol. You should be able to carry as big as it is. Amama Ravuna, ain metaltelin boy, klal. Elaim kain, einai hava, ela kishir beisasayim, kechatzer hamishkan. Unless it's the shear of a base sasayim, which was the same shear as the courtyard of a mishkan. Sheshior zeh nitnu chachamim lechol hekav she'ein ledira. This is the shi'ur, we're going to call it a base sasayim. This is the shear the chachamim gave to anything which is hekav, which is surrounded, she'ein ledira, but not for the purpose of living. V'im gadol hu mikan, if it's bigger than that, have a karmelis. That's defined as a quote-unquote Carmelis. Vein metaltelin boy, you're not allowed to carry there. Ele besoich arba amosav shel adam, except in 4 amos of a person. Vahai, and this one, the tree, given to be yodayim hukaf. Since you wove the branches, it was biyadayim that you surrounded this tree. Ledira, and it's even for the purpose of living because you want to be there for Shabbos. Afilu yoyis and rebeis asayim little bit, you should be able to carry in it, even if it's bigger than a beis asayim. Okay, let's put this all together. The Gemara said, Amar Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, ein metaltelin boy, ella beis sasayim. Except in a beis sasayim. So let's read this all together. So again, the Gemara, let's go back to the beginning, read it all together. Toshma. Ilana meisech ala aretz, a tree that is making schach, that is covering the ground. Im enofa gavoya min aretz vosh tvachim. If the branches are within 3 tvachim of the ground, metaltelin taftov, you can carry underneath it. Amai, why? It's moving. It's not a legitimate mechitza. Hasam nami. There also the avid lebuhut v'dafna. You wove it together. Iach, if that's true, nita lekule. You should be able to carry under all of it. This is where I get confused. Of course, you can carry under all of it. That's what we just said. Under it. That's all of it. What are you talking about? Alma, however, Amar Rav Huna Breid Rishuva, Rav Huna Breid Rishuva disagreed with Halacha and said ain, or was more precise if you want. Ein metaltelin boy, you cannot carry under those branches. Ella beis sasayim, except the beis sasayim. What? So what Rashi was telling us? So that's Rashi said is the area of the chatzer of the Mishkan. It's a name for a certain dimension. Beis sasayim is a certain amount of space. What's going on here is that the first opinion makes it sound like you can carry underneath the tree as far as you want. This could be a massive, huge tree in a huge area. Yeah?
Is a tree part... Isn't a tree... If you have an arrow and a tree is inside the arrow...
Yeah.
You'd be able to carry under that tree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're talking about a tree that's not in an arrow or anything. Correct. It's a tree out in the wilderness.
How would you be able to carry to that tree?
No, you parked yourself there for Shabbos. That would be the case. That would be like, you want to just isolate this case and discuss it. It would be a case where a person is traveling and his mom is in the middle of nowhere and it's getting close to Shabbos. He says, okay, I got to park myself somewhere for Shabbos. And he notices, maybe he has a tent, maybe he doesn't. You know, he's going to stay in his wagon. You know, but he notices that there's this huge tree and the tree, like the branches go all the way around it. It's like a teepee. So what a great way. You know, maybe I'll put my tent in it. Maybe I won't put my tent in it, but I'll move myself over there. So he parks all of his stuff underneath the tree. So Shaila is, how far can he carry? What's his story in terms of Shabbos? So the tree in and of itself, we originally thought, good to go. You're a mamash in a teepee. Says the Gemara, absolutely not. Hutzav adafna. You have to weave it up so that the tree doesn't blow in the wind. Now maybe that means that it blows out of being lavud. That's a chazanish. Okay. But whatever is necessary, so you weave up the branches so it doesn't blow significantly in the wind. So Gemara says, great. If you're right, then you have mamish walls. Right? You have walls. If you have walls, then you should not have the following comment of Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehoshua. What do you mean? Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehoshua said, I will only allow that tree to function as your quote-unquote, walls for Shabbos. And, therefore, you will be allowed to carry your stuff and walk around anywhere under those branches if it's less than a beis sasayim. But if it's a beis sasayim, it's more than that, so then absolutely not. You're not allowed to carry there. That's not good enough. Okay, so what's going on here? So what's going on is like this. We discussed in the past, if a person finds himself in the middle of nowhere on Shabbos, then he can carry anything he wants within his Dalet Amos. Within his Dalet Amos, and that's it. If he goes ahead and he builds a campsite with walls or something around him that he makes a greater, a larger area into a Rosh HaSayachid, then he has his whole area. It's his house. But he's made some kind of fence, a roof. He's done something that allows him to do that. But otherwise, he's stuck with his Dalet Amos. Now, there could be an area that is enclosed, but is so large that this enclosure becomes sketchy. Have you seen the enclosure? Because I can't see it from here. It's so far away. That's called a karmelis. A karmelis is an area that's not a rishos around the deraisa, but there's some problem with it then it's not good enough to be a Rishus HaYachid either. So Rashi's case, and this is what he's, that's why he's comparing it to the tree, is you can have something that's called a karpeif. You have something that's not hukaf ledira. What does it mean, hukaf ledira? It is surrounded by a wall, but not for the purpose of living. So you can have an area that's surrounded because it's like a golf course. You can have an area that's surrounded because of whatever it is, but nobody's living there. So that's the classic case that Eruvin deal with, is that you have an area, it is mamish surrounded, but not for the purpose of dira, like a golf course or something like that. Nobody's living there. So what does that mean for our purposes? Depends. If that area that's surrounded, dwelled in, but not for the purpose of living, if it's smaller than a base sasayim, it's okay, we can deal with it as a rishus hayachid. But if it's more than a base sasayim, that's called a karmelis. That's what Rashi says. That's called a karmelis. So what's the story of the karmelis? Karmelis is asa d'rabanan, to carry more than four amos. So Rav Huna ben Rishu, what he said was, if this tree is so massive that it's covering an area that's larger than a base sasayim, then you're limited to your four amos, even though you're surrounded by the whole tree. That's a karmelis. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. If you mamish wove all those walls together, what are you talking about? Then why should that be true? Why should you be limited by base sasayim? You wove them together and it's for dira? You're going to stay there for Shabbos? Like, what are you talking about? How can he ever say that? That's the question. So Gemara answers, Mishum dahavadira shetash misheha le'avir. V'chol dira shetash misheha le'avir ein metalt l'nboi le'sasayim. So we got to figure this out. Help me out here. Because this particular woven tree covering is a dira, a place where you're living, shetash misheha, that its use is le'avir, is for the air, is for the air space. And any deer in the living area whose use is for the airspace, you can only carry in it if it's smaller than a base sasayim. So I'm lost. What do you mean it's for the wind? Like, what? I don't understand.
It could be like if you're sitting somewhere that's hot, so you have wind coming through.
What? It's hot outside, and you're doing
so
it.
It allows a lot of wind.
That's what you want to say. So, well, let's take a look at Rashi and see if we can figure this out. Are you ready? So, Tash Mishel Avir, five lines down. Eina Asuya Dira Zu, Ella Litzarech Avir. This Dira is only made, right? That's a loose translation, but it's double negatives here, so that's what it means. This Dira is only made for the avir, for the necessity of the airspace or wind, shechutza la, that's outside of it. And Rashi adds, lishmor hasados, to guard the fields. Ve'ena chashuva dira, is not considered a living place, lahatir hekef gadol, to allow us to carry when there's a large wall surrounding a large area. Wait, so how's Rashi learning that it's hukaf avir? That, again, ein asuya dira zu el terech avir shechutzala. That this area is only enclosed for the purpose of the airspace that's outside of it. Okay, so when you read that line, you have no idea what Rashi's talking about. Because when do you ever make something that you surround for the wind outside of it? Meaning, you always make a fence for the inside of the fence, not for the outside of the fence. Why would I be making a fence here or a wall here for something that's outside the wall? Unless it's for the purpose of outside the wall. It's walling in the thing on the other side. Well, then it's the same thing. Like, what? So Rashi explains, Ve'ena chashuva dira lahatir, sorry, lishmor hasados. Because the reason why you walled in this area or wove the branches or whatever is because you want to be able to sit there and guard what? Sados, the fields that are on the other side. You don't want to be walled in over here. You want the shade. You want maybe to be protected from the wind, maybe. But you want to be able to see what's going on in the field. So you're the shomer, and you're in this area under the tree so that you can see what's going on in the field. You're not walling it in so that you can sit there and live there and the purpose is all just under the branches. You are there to be able to guard the field. So if that's the case, that's not considered a dira, a living place that would allow a large hekif, surrounding wall. So that's interesting. That's not what we expected the Pshat and Gemara to be, but that seems to be how Rashi learns. So, okay. Mishum the Havidir Shetash Mishela Avir. The problem, the reason why Huna Brei Yeshua limits the tree to Beis Sasayim is because even though you're going to be under it, but it's not really walled in for the purpose of you under it, it's walled in for the purpose of you being under it to watch the fields. That would be, I guess, the typical case. And any Dira Shetash Mishela Avir, any Dira whose function is for the airspace beyond it, Ein Metalton Bela Sasayim, and you're limited to a Beis Sasayim, once it's bigger than the Beis Sasayim, that's not considered Hukaf Ladira anymore, and you'd be limited to Dalit Amis. Okay, so it sounds like things we're not familiar with, but okay, it is what it is. Toshma. Shavas B'teil, Shugavo Asara. A guy, Shavas, that means he was designated, his Makom Shvisa, he designated the place he's going to stay for Shabbos, on top of a tail. What's a tail? Yeah, and you know any words that use this?
Spring.
Isn't it a valley?
So it's like Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
So spring.
Well, that's what the test, right? A tail with a suf, with a tuf, is like a hill or a mound or you know, it's not going to be a mountain. But Tel Aviv, right? Tel Aviv. It's the spring mound, I don't know, whatever. But you can have a tail. The guy is Shavas on a tail, Shugavo Asara. So he found some sort of hill. It's 10 tefachim high. And he says, okay, this is where I'm going to park myself for Shabbos. V'hume arba amis, ad beis sasayim. And it's a hill that goes, meaning the top of it, or the peak, is 4 amis until beis sasayim. So that's legit. What's legit? What's happening here? He's on the top of a hill. There's no walls around him. But it's a specific designated area that's 10 tefachim high. So that is good enough to separate his rishus, his domain, from everything that's surrounding it. So he would be allowed to carry from Dalet Amis and all the way until the base of Sion, similar to what we were just talking about. So it's interesting, that's what people argue. And what about Manhattan? Manhattan's like a big tail, right? So that's already going to be a Carmelis because it's too big. Bechein, how do you pronounce this? Neka.
The Carmelis concept is only if you can't see the border?
It's a large enough area. It's
It's more than just like, oh, I can't see like the boundary line? Because like technically, if you make like the walls large enough, you could kind of like say like, oh, I can see the boundary.
Right, yeah, no, so it's a technical area. It's based on base Sasayim. Yeah. Rashi's base Sasayim is based on the Chatzar HaMishkan, it's all based on that. It's not really based on whether or not you can see it. okay, so Neka, is how you, Neka, it's a Bika. I'm not sure the etymology here, but V'chein B'Neka, which is a Bika, what's a Bika? That's a valley. Yeah. So, a valley. But similarly, in other words, what we're doing is, for all of you relatively Einstein freaks out there, so you could have something that goes up, and you can have something that goes down. You can have something that goes into another dimension, you know? So, okay, we're not going to discuss that, but it's the same thing. The principle of a pit is the same principle as a hill. Just like you can have a dip, you can also have something that goes above. And the principles are going to apply equally. If you have 10 tefachim down, you've got a wall inside the ground. 10 tefachim high, you've got a wall on top of the ground. So just like you can have a hill that's between 4 amis and a beis sasayim, and that's good to be a rishus yachad and shabbos, v'chein b'nega, so too with a bika, a valley, shehu amuk asara, it's 10 tefachim deep, v'humi arba amis and beis sasayim. Similarly, it's like a crater. So the next time someone wants to go to Mars or the moon, you want to make Shabbos. So if you find yourself a crater that's between 4 amis and a beis sasayim, that's also good enough to be a legit rishus yachad, but not larger than a beis sasayim. V'chein kama kitsura. Similarly, if you have sheaves that are harvested, and stalks are makifai soisa, are surrounding his area. So imagine the situation. You have one of these corn mazes, you know? So in the corn mazes, an area that's between four amas and all the way up to a base sasayim, but you got walls around you, whether these stalks, you know, these sheaves, these corn stalks, whatever you call it. Mahalach es kula, you're allowed to walk that whole area, v'chutzala alpayim amu, and even outside 2,000 amas, meaning that whole area becomes designated your makom for Shabbos. Just to spell this out, if you are in the middle of nowhere, and you have your arba amos, so you can carry all of your stuff within your dalet amos. You can't move your stuff outside of dalet amos. But you could go anywhere within 2,000 amos away from your place. That's your tchum Shabbos. You're not allowed to go outside your tchum Shabbos. Yeah, you know about this? The concept of the tchum Shabbos? You're not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos outside your city on Shabbos. Not carrying anything. It's just, that's your border for Shabbos. That's your tchum. If you're part of a big city, then the tchum is outside the city. That's why we're not familiar with this, because whoever goes outside the tchum. People want to debate New York and Riverdale or Jersey. Is there a tchum, and is the bridge too far? Would you be allowed to cross GWB? Is that going outside the tchum Shabbos of, let's say, New York or Manhattan or whatever? So people do ask this shot.
What about Brooklyn?
Yeah, maybe. So you could discuss it in those contexts, or maybe they're all the same city. Okay, you gotta figure it out. But we don't usually encounter it. But that's the halacha. So if you have a makom shvisa, you have 2,000 amis from the end of your makom shvisa and on. Where does your makom shvisa end? So this brisa is telling you that if you have an area that's a crater on Mars and is less than a base of Siam or less, so your 2,000 amis starts at the edge. You have your whole base of Siam, your 2,000 amis starts at the end. Same thing if you're in a field with all of these stalks around you. Same thing in all of the cases that it gave. Af al gav deka'azel ve'asi. In all of these cases are things that blow in the wind. No? All you got is stalks. You got all these things. Come on. Okay, you know where the Gemara is going. Hasam nami da'v'le'v'hutz'v'dafna. All of these cases, you have to make sure you're weaving it together so that it doesn't blow significantly in the wind to kill your mechitza. So that's how the Gemara finishes. So, you know, halacha l'maaseh, when it comes to all these canvas sukkahs, so there are those that say that even though you'll find this opinion of like the Chazon Ish that says that it has to be blowing apart, so it's not love that is really the issue. At the same time, the Mevarshim, you know, Pashut on Rashi doesn't seem to indicate that anywhere. It sounds like if the mechitza blows too much, it's just not strong enough or solid enough to be legitimate mechitza. So there are two things to keep in mind. One thing to keep in mind is there are those that say the wool itself has to blow more than three tefachim. Because maybe that's removing the wool itself. The wool itself, maybe it's considered lavud itself if it doesn't move more than that. That's one thing some say. The other issue is that maybe you can tie it down that it doesn't move enough. You know, I mean, there is a little bit of leeway, right? I mean, no? Some leeway. Many people, and I don't know if you have a sukkah like this, many of the newer canvas sukkahs, they come with these like Velcro ribbons. Have you seen that? Yeah. They come with these ribbons. What's the point of the ribbons? Because they're concerned for this. So they're saying, even though these canvas walls are going to sway a little bit in the wind, so maybe that's a problem, no problem, I'll give you a backup sukkah. Take these ribbons that have this Velcro and they're very tight. You go all the way around three walls or four walls, whatever you can do. But it has to be a little bit of a way to get in and out. So three walls is good enough. And you take these ribbons and then you make each ribbon lavud to the one above or beneath it. And the truth of the matter is, you don't even need the canvas walls anymore. Now you have those ribbons that are lavud to each other. Those are really your walls. It's surrounded by canvas. Yes, it keeps you a little bit warmer. The wind doesn't get to you. So it's there, you know, but it's not necessary for your sukkah walls anymore. Because really your sukkah walls are the ribbons that are lavud to one another. So all of the newer ones that they come out with have those ribbons that come out. That's to circumvent this issue that our Gemara is dealing with.
What if you have just like canvas, right?
Yeah.
Down a roof or something, you have a fence around, and you use the fence as a wall.
Yeah, same thing. If you're using the fence for the wall, or you're using other things, you know, the deck, let's say you build it on a deck, And so the deck has walls all around it, a fence all around it. And you want to put just some canvas or some curtains or something just a little bit higher up for privacy or to keep out the wind, totally fine. I would love to do that on my deck. So I have a huge deck. So what you do is you put like, some kind of poles on the edges. You make sure, you have to make sure that it's 10 tefachim high and that everything, all of those, what do you call them? Beams? I don't know. Whatever is made, whatever that fence is made up of are leveled to one another. And then you just make almost like a dressing room. You just have curtains that go like all the way around. And then the schach is the trickiest part. And you have to figure out how to get schach because it's, you know, very wide and very long, whatever. But then, you know, you're basically, as long as your deck fence is good enough, that'll be your sukkah walls.
But why not? Does that mean if the canvas is in front or we don't
at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because, you know, you're, as long as the schach reaches the walls that are the legit walls, you have to make sure that the schach is on top of the door.
Why do you deck the walls by themselves?
Totally fine. Yeah. It's just that, it, you know, it's a lot of wind and it's not no privacy. But that's definitely a cool way to make a sukkah.